Hi, and welcome to Zed Games. Recorded live at 4ZZZ Studios in Brisbane and broadcast nationally over the Community Radio Network, Zed Games brings you the latest gaming news, reviews, and interviews from across Australia and around the world.
You're listening to Zed Games, Australia's most metal gaming radio show. We are coming to, well, look at the competition, you know.
You couldn't even get through that without laughing because that's how ridiculous it sounds.
It's still accurate, even if it's embarrassing. We are coming to you live from 4ZZZ in Brisbane. You might also be listening to us around the nation on the Community Radio Network. I am Lee, and joining me in the studio for this episode, Razor.
Hello, Lee.
The very metal JD McGregor.
Hello.
And the terrifyingly metal Miss Candy Payne.
Hi, Lee. Hi, listeners.
Yeah.
Yep. Good, yeah. Great.
So what are we doing on this episode, then, you, Razor?
In the spirit of metal, we have a couple of guests joining us. Now, they are the makers of Metal Dead, a point-and-click adventure that combines metal and zombies.
How appropriate that we have, like, some metal music to play this episode.
Yeah, well, great. Jody selected the first song, which was Super Beast by Rob Zombie. You've also got another few choice cuts coming up for us on the show, right, Jody?
Yeah, like that one, a few of them will be from the soundtrack to Brutal Legend, the most heavy metal game I've ever played.
And if we have time at the end of the episode, Lee and I have been playing Oli Oli 2.
Which has nothing to do with metal, yeah. Unfortunately. And, you know, that's fine.
Killing the theme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to get this episode started, Candy, would you like to take us through the week in gaming news headlines? There's some big news from Nintendo, I hear.
Yes, there is, Razor. Nintendo properties such as Mario, Zelda, Pokemon, and Donkey Kong will soon be appearing on a smartphone near you. Nintendo President Satoru Iwata said in a press conference that players shouldn't expect ports of existing games, but instead new titles developed specifically for mobile. Nintendo will partner with DNA, a Japanese company specializing in mobile infrastructure. Nintendo stock prices spiked 32% immediately following the announcement.
Should have bought some Nintendo stock earlier.
Yeah.
Like, it was going to bounce back anyway,
really?
Right?
Oh, yeah. I had my doubts it would. But anyway, I'm excited about this.
It really is exciting, especially for the shareholders.
Yeah.
who we're really interested in.
Incidentally, is not me, unfortunately. Yeah. Players of The Elder Scrolls Online will no longer need to pay a monthly subscription fee to play the game. The PC MMO has relaunched this week as The Elder Scrolls Online Tamriel Unlimited. The game must still be paid for up front using a model akin to Guild Wars 2 and The Secret World. The PS4 and Xbox One versions of the game are expected to launch in June.
Ray, you want to play?
Sure.
All right. We'll do a thing.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
Sounds good.
We'll represent Zed Games in the world of Tamriel. The unlimited world of Tamriel.
Who are you going to be in the game? Which race?
I don't know. Something. One of those lizardy guys. That's pretty good, right?
I guess.
Yeah, I don't know.
Respawn Entertainment CEO Vince Zampella has confirmed that the studio is working on Titanfall 2. He also revealed that the next game would be coming to the PlayStation 4, as well as Xbox One and PC. This week, all Titanfall map packs became free for all players to download. Zampella suggested that the next game would have free map packs from launch to avoid splitting the player base and to ease matchmaking. The Steam subscriber agreement has been updated to include a provision that requires all users to disclose paid recommendations. The new terms mean that all users who recommend a game must disclose if they have received any kind of product, service, or payment in exchange for a positive comment or green light votes.
That's surprising that they've had to do that. I can't imagine they ever expected that they would need to include that kind of system when they were, even when they were coming up with the Steam curation thing, you know? But I guess the world being what it is now, we have to start shielding ourselves from this kind of thing.
Yeah. It's a shame it has to happen. I'm glad it did, though.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of trouble, I think, came from the fact that some smaller studios were offering free keys of their games in exchange for Steam Greenlight votes, which is a bit problematic, you know.
I'd just like our listeners to know that I'm perfectly open to the idea of bribery. Send me things. Send me things. I need them. I'm very poor. So we're sitting on milk crates in here.
Thank you very much, Candy, for those gaming news headlines. Next up, we're going to be talking to the guys from Walkthrough Walls Studios about their metal-themed point-and-click adventure, Metal Dead. To get us there, here is a metal version of the Tetris theme. Hey, hey, you're listening to Zed Games on Triple Z 102.1 FM. My name's Razor, joined by Jody, Miss Candy Payne, and Lee. We are joined right now in the studio with a couple of special guests, Rob and Liam from Walkthrough Wall Studios. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Now, you've put out the game Metal Dead. It's a point-and-click adventure featuring heavy metal and zombies. Can you tell us a bit more about it? Sounds awesome.
Well, both of us have been big fans of heavy metal, like, all the way through our teens, into our 20s. It just seemed like the perfect theme to go with. And at the time, this was before Walking Dead had been made into a point-and-click series, when we actually started working on Metal Dead. And we thought, you know, everyone's done zombies, you know, you shoot zombies in the face over and over again. No one's really done it from a cerebral point of view. Nobody's done the old point-and-click style, like, really focused on the comedy, you know, element of I mean, you look at... I'm wearing the shirt, actually, Dead Alive. You know, there were so many great horror comedies with zombies, like Peter Jackson's Brain Dead / Dead Alive, Evil Dead, all of those sort of things. And it just seemed like a great combination to take that old LucasArts style, you know, adventure game and combine it with zombies and gore and heavy metal, which we love. So,
I'm imagining a Venn diagram with one circle is metal. The other circle is zombies. Now, those two...
That's one circle, really.
Yeah, basically one circle.
Quite heavily.
But then there's a third circle with point-and-click adventure, which only, I'm imagining, only slightly goes over the other two.
Yeah, it'll just go over the edge there, I think.
Now, you two are obviously in that category there.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
I mean, we're big fans of games in general, and I you know, kind of worked in the game industry for a little while at Chrome just down the road. So... it was kind of, we were just sitting there and just thought, what can we do? Like, I'd lost my job at that point, so we were looking around at engines, and there was a nice free point-and-click adventure game engine. So we just put what we loved into making a game. We really didn't know what we wanted to do from the start. We had no real plans. We kind of made one test room for the game, and then it kind of spiraled pretty heavily into the themes that we love.
So who does what on the actual
game? I do the art and the code and animation.
And I write and design puzzles and that sort of thing.
Okay.
A lot of our jobs kind of overlap here and there as well. So
For the first game, we actually had a friend who I used to play in bands with. He did all the music through MIDI for us for the first game, so it really gave it that old school feel. For the second game, we actually brought on a new background artist, Kai. She's excellent. And Josh, who does some additional animations for us now. Mm-hmm. But we actually had a friend, a fan, who loved the first game so much that he redid some of the MIDI music into a full heavy metal, you know, version, using real guitars, real drums, and that sort of thing. And he sent it to us just as a gift. And we wanted to work with this guy so much, and even though he's, you know, a continent away, we've been trying to make it work, and he's been giving us some great music, and the sequel will be completely scored by him, like a movie but with heavy metal. So
amazing.
Cool, that's great. So I have been playing through Metal Dead recently, and I'm a huge fan of all the classic point-and-click adventure games, particularly like the LucasArts ones. I'm really impressed with not just like the strength of your writing, like it's a really funny game, like an immediately funny game as well, but also the cleverness of your puzzles, the way that everything loops back in on itself. Like, how do you design an adventure game, and how do you write and make it funny?
Well, I mean, honestly, for the comedy value, we try to please each other first. Yeah. As far as, you know, if we laugh at what we put in,
chuck it in,
then it stays in. But we did take a decision very early on that we didn't want to go with the old style of point and click puzzles where you had to use a pulley or a rubber chicken or something like that, you know, to get at some weird, obscure, illogical conclusion. Mm. We tried to stick with things that kind of made sense in a way.
If someone told you the answer for the puzzle, you'd just go, oh, of course. Basically what we were trying to go for.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than being, you know, particularly obscure. Because those puzzles in the LucasArts games or the Sierra games, I think, were more guilty of those kind of puzzles than the LucasArts ones. But they just weren't fun.
Yeah.
They just, you know, and especially Sierra games would let you die as well. And we, again, you can't get stuck in Metal Dead. You can't die in Metal Dead, which goes completely against
zombies.
In general,
yeah.
So I mean,
don't tell them that they're not. Yeah, they're supposed to be fearful at all times.
Well, stay scared. But,
yeah.
But that was another, you know, challenge in keeping with the theme, that we had to have a character that never actually committed, you know, big acts of violence.
Yeah.
There are still some in there, but it's
mostly
not
like Rube Goldberg accidental deaths by main characters that you just never meant for that to happen. It's always like, oh, I'll just put this here and try and puzzle my way. Oh my God, what's happening? And then, you know, someone's head gets slammed in a cabinet or, you know, they get crushed horribly. All of our characters are quite cute as well, so it makes it really fun when they're like completely dismembered or they explode and their heads and their eyes go everywhere. So
yeah,
that's really important.
That lo-fi cute art style just makes it look funny when the gore happens.
Yeah.
I like it's like this real MS Paint style of artwork.
Yes,
I know. I mean that in the nicest possible
way. No, that's all right. I've had it meant not in the nicest ways as well, so I'll take that one. That's fine. But look, we were going for a particular style. I actually messed with the brush settings in the program that I use, so I was like, oh, this looks fine, I'll just use that. And if people don't like the art style, they're not going to buy it. Like, it's all right, they're not going to play it and they're not going to enjoy it. But
the people who like it really love it.
That's it.
It's aimed at a specific, well, I mean, we get, you know, comparisons to, say, Invader Zim and mm-hmm. stuff like that, and it just works with the comedy style. Mm-hmm. And it makes my job easier writing jokes when it's, as you said, it's you're destroying cute characters.
Yeah, lots of visual comedy.
What's more fun
compliments
than that? So
there is nothing more fun than that.
Yeah. I mean, I've watched Happy Tree Friends. It's fun to watch cute little things get just mutilated. So yeah,
it's actually sort of an interesting dynamic between it being really cute and then it being about such sinister sort of themes. You know, heavy metal you would usually assume is pretty dark, and we kept a really colourful, vibrant colour scheme throughout it. So
yeah, no greys and browns.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of colours.
So the main characters of the game are Malcolm and Rob, who are
Malcolm
and Ronnie. Sorry,
yeah, that's all right.
You're cool.
I am confused with you because it just seemed to me like these two metalheads who are trying to survive the zombie apocalypse, were they maybe inspired by you guys a little bit?
I doubt it. No, that doesn't sound right at all. No. I mean, we always put little bits of ourselves. It's most of the time, it's what would we do in the situation, but then let's amp it up with ridiculousness.
Yeah, if they are versions of us, they're very exaggerated versions.
Yes.
It definitely seems like this style of dialogue that comes out of two funny people who like being with each other, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like that there's a real camaraderie in all of the interactions, which I think makes it flow really well. So I'm hoping that something that, like, you guys don't hate each other at this point.
Oh, no, not like right now.
Sometimes, you know, every now and again.
We've known each other since we were three. Mm. So, you know, we're like brothers, kind of. But yeah, it's we get along pretty well, and it I guess it shows in the game.
How did you guys meet at 3 years old, if you don't mind
asking?
Oh,
I think it was playgroup or something. I probably should ask our parents rather than us. We're drooling and we have no idea, really.
You mentioned that you'd been playing in bands earlier. Did you guys ever want to play together in a band as well as being in a studio?
I don't play any instruments.
I mean, I never really went past just playing in garage bands with friends and that sort of thing. But, I mean, because I'm a drummer, if I go back to playing drums, I'd like to get Alejandro from Argentina that's writing the music for us, and we'll collaborate and release an album. I mean, he's actually already talking about releasing what he's writing as an album. He's sort of talking about doing it as a, there's three acts to the game, and he's going to write each as an album in the character's band. Oh, it's hard to explain. He's got this really, really elaborate plan.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But he wants to write three albums, basically, that take place in different times of the characters' lives. So it's almost like experimental. It's stuff that I've never seen anyone do with a video game before. So
I love it. Is that something that would actually be released as like a little extra?
Yes.
He wants to release it as a game soundtrack. So
brilliant.
Yeah.
Cool. So that'll be something to look out for once we're closer to release.
Yeah, for the second one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Hello and welcome back to Zed Games. You just heard Dream Machine with Springfield is Doomed. We are talking with Liam and Rob from Walkthrough Wall Studios, who made a game called Metal Dead, a point-and-click adventure about zombies and heavy metal, and at the moment are working on a sequel called Metal Dead Encore. Was there anything you guys learned from doing the first game that you really want to take with you into the sequel, like anything that you really wanted to change? Or?
I think the dialogue systems that we used for the first game were slightly clunky, where we had a lot of just sort of you would pick out of four dialogue options and then you would have to go through every one of them. And now we've gone for more of a Mass Effect style dialogue system where it branches. It feels more like a fluid conversation, which I think is really important. Especially when you're dealing with these characters on a constant basis, you want to enjoy the conversations that you're having with them. Rather than just going through a checklist and going down every single dialogue option, this is way more fluid now. So that was a pretty big thing.
Cool. That's a kind of a modern concession compared to a lot of the other style of the game.
Yeah.
So you, when the first one came out, that was, and while you were working on it, that was sort of before, like, all the Telltale games that, and a lot of the big RPG influence that has crept into the adventure genre. Like, how do you guys feel about this having such a, like, what I think is such an excellent old school point click game? Like, how do you feel about this, the new adventure game?
I mean, it's, everything's going to be modernized eventually, and I think that is the right direction probably to go with it, to bring more people into the genre. Like, it did stagnate for a long time, and you know, it's only been in the last 5 or 6 years, I think, that the point click genre has actually come back in a big way. I mean, you've got people like Wajidai that releasing old school games, and obviously Telltale. But it did stagnate. It died. But it, you know, it coming back, you know, is just such a great thing. And we're happy to go in that direction with the dialogue style, and I find it more fun to write that way as well, just because, you know, I've been playing through the game like as playtesting, and it's just, I find myself getting wrapped up in stuff, you know, because we have been working on this one for a couple of years now, and I kind of forget things that I've written, and then I'll make myself laugh, which is, I guess, I don't know if that's embarrassing or not, but there's a lot in it. There is a lot in it, and it'll hold up to multiple playthroughs, whereas maybe the first one wouldn't have as much, because it very much sort of holds your hand through dialogue, whereas this one gives you a bit more option and more variety of dialogue for sure.
I do like that in the first one you can use that talking mouth icon on anything. And there are so many different responses for just random things that you click on by trying to talk to them. I tried to talk to a whiteboard at one point, and there was a specific option written for that.
Yep, yep. We actually have kind of strayed away from that, because that was a nightmare to deal with. That was an absolute nightmare to deal with. This time around, there's more just jokes on things where it's going to be a really good joke, you know, rather than, you know, and I put more effort into the actual dialogue trees themselves rather than interacting on everything. But there's still definitely a hell of a lot of that.
Yeah,
sort
if
of
you
stuff.
Can use, you know, your mouth on a random bush, there is going to be something funny as to why you can do that. So we usually, if we came up with a joke, it's like, put it in, like, make it so you can do that.
We actually have one item that I like being able to use on a lot of things. We have a jar of what we call Rocky Mountain pickles.
Yeah.
They're pickled bull testicles.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not every game has that. I think that's point
not
of
every
difference.
Game. Name one they, game.
Well, more should. Yeah. Let's start a movement.
Yeah.
So does Metal Dead Encore follow the story directly from the first game, or is it just a new story in the same world?
It's directly from the credit sequence of the first game, goes directly into the start of the second game. So there's, I think he has a bit of a nap, and
that's
then and then maybe wakes up, and then it's like full on. We've in the first game, the entrance to the game was quite slow because we did start the beginning of the game learning how to make games, like from a design perspective. So we really didn't have a lot of ideas as to what we were doing. And now we're starting the second game just straight up action sequence. So it's going to be a lot more exciting. Hopefully keep people playing.
Yeah, we had a good demo at PAX. Because doing PAX, we've done that the last 2 years. It's tough to do a point-and-click adventure game on a PAX floor, and people were great. Like, they, you know, got a lot of laughs from people, and but yeah, really, really tough to show something that's very dialogue heavy over a shooter or something of that nature.
Even puzzle games are a lot easier, you know.
Yeah.
Actually, I saw the demo at the first PAX 2 years ago, and I was like drawing attention to these guys because it was fantastic. It was really funny.
It's very kind.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I just went back 2 years. I didn't remember that.
But that's the opening scene of the second game. Yeah. So with a helicopter falling and a zombie goes through the
nice giant blood column. So
yeah.
We were supposed to tone it down for PAX.
But we didn't.
I don't think we did, no.
Who could complain?
No. One did.
So,
did you guys take any inspiration from other metal-themed games? Like, what other metal-themed games are there, Jody?
Brutal Legend.
Legend?
That's it. Full Throttle, definitely. I mean, yeah, we both played Full Throttle.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you play Brutal Legend?
I did not.
I did. I did. I thought it was great. Like, just the look of it was fantastic. And obviously, I've been influenced by Tim Schafer. So, that was... I mean, it more so just showed us that you could actually make a metal game and get away with it. I don't know if he really did at the time. I know it got a bit of a critical thrashing, but I enjoyed it.
I loved it. He hated it. Oh. He did. Jody, look at him.
It's not true. I didn't hate it.
He looks so guilty.
I never finished it.
You're the worst.
Yeah.
I think there was a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that might have damaged it. But,
oh, yeah.
But I still think the character came through, and it was good. It was good. I enjoyed it, so... Mm.
You keep referring to it as a metal game, like your game, I've realised, just during this interview. Do you consider it more a metal game or a zombie game, or just...
Oh, it rides the line pretty tightly. I don't know. It's it's a hard one. I would say it's pretty much 50-50, but I listen to metal way more often than I watch zombie movies, so I kind of refer to it as a metal game most of the time. The art really stands out as metal.
Yeah.
And then we've kind of put the zombies in there, and they work really well together. The second game is centered around a town where it's a metal festival is being held, so a lot of the zombies have got little heavy metal t-shirts on, and you know, they're all grey and crawling towards you, so it's
essentially just sent people in the second game to Soundwave and they've all turned into zombies.
Yeah, it's just
pretty
as
much.
Bad as Soundwave. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's horrible.
But, I mean, the problem with talking about the second one is that there is a big twist at the end of the first game, by talking about the second game, I guess you'll see it in the trailer, but it's going to spoil that big twist at the end, which is
nobody wants that.
No,
no spoilers on it.
Okay, no spoilers.
Like, you want to get people to rush off.
Absolutely,
right now.
But it is guaranteed one of the craziest endings you'll see in a video game.
It's pretty ridiculous.
So in the best way.
The second game being set at a metal festival, was that inspired by a specific experience of yours?
Not really. We just thought what's a kind of good hub area that we can use. It was more out of a design decision than an actual like life story or any sort of thing like that. I mean, we've all been to Soundwave.
We know. Here's the thing: one of the major plot points in Metal Dead is that heavy metal is a weapon against zombies. They can't handle the complicated sounds, and your main character is a guitarist, and the whole second game is sort of just a let's get the band back together story to put on a show for a crowd of zombies and blow them all into smithereens. So that's sort of your starting point there for Metal Dead Encore. So, yeah.
It's nice to have an immediate goal like that.
Yeah. I mean, you need it. You definitely need it in a game.
So Metal Dead Encore, you guys are working on it right now. Mm-hmm. You've been working on it for a while. How long? A couple of years? A
couple of years now.
Yeah.
Yep, so you're expecting it this year?
Yes.
Dare I ask, when in the year, or is that a ridiculous question?
We'd like to get it out around Halloween, maybe. Mm. We finally got the first game on Steam last Halloween, so it'd be nice to have the next one available, you know, around the same time. It's definitely a good game for Halloween, I think. You know, in the US, which is where the most game players are. So, but yeah, it's Halloween we're aiming.
Yeah. I mean, we're constantly working on it. I mean, I was working on it an hour before I came here. So we're really just trying to get it out. I mean, you know, we're always looking forward as to what we want to do as well after this. So it's not like that we're, you know, just trying to push this out. We've got a plan, and we're just trying to stick to that plan and get it ready.
Yeah. So you two are the core of the studio, and you outsource like the various tasks to other people. Are you guys doing this full time, or do you have day jobs that you do and you're just working on the game at night time?
Oh, we're doing this full time.
Yep.
And it's actually friends of ours that we met them through like indie game meetups. I think there was one at the Manor Bar, and we kind of just said we need an artist, and I mean, there's so many artists out there, so we picked a really good one for us.
But then even us, we're sort of doing jobs here and there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've had a few setbacks, you know, every now and again, but, yeah.
So where can our listeners go to get a copy of Metal Dead?
You can go to metaldead.com. That'll take you to,
there's a Steam widget on there.
Yeah,
you can. Steam's probably the best place. We've got in-game achievements and those cards that you get and all that. You can sell them on the Steam store. So make a 11 cents for yourself or something if you really need to.
Hey, it's more like 36 because those cards go for like 12 cents.
That is true. Right? I was really surprised by that. I had no idea. I was like, I can make money off my own game in a different way. I like this. I just play through it myself, give myself a copy. Made 33 cents.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Are you tempted to turn it into a trilogy once you're done with the second game, or will you be sick and over it by then?
I guess we'll just see how this one fares. Yeah. But, I mean, we do love the characters. We've grown very attached to them. And I don't know, if we do another one, if we do Metal Dead After Party.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they are in themselves self-contained. As well, they're self-contained stories. You could play the first one and skip the second one, you know, and you wouldn't be any lesser. And the same way with the first one, you could just start.
Don't do that, though.
Yeah,
no,
please.
Don't skip
it. My God. Yeah.
No, the second game, I mean, if you haven't played the first, it sums up the events of the first game.
There's like a hall of memories that you can go through, and it'll give you a what previously happened sort of thing.
So you can catch up. You can catch up by playing just the second game. But, yeah, third game, we'll see how this one goes. It might happen. I do have ideas.
Well, you've already got a title.
Yeah, that's true.
That's dangerous.
Spur of the moment just then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rob, Liam, thank you very much for joining us on this episode of Zed Games. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Best of luck with Metal Dead Encore. We might catch up with you when that's closer to release.
Excellent.
Cool. Thanks a lot.
Not a prob. Now, we're going to talk about Oli Oli 2. It's a skateboarding game, and in my opinion, it's probably the best skateboarding game out at the moment.
That is a bold... Well, actually, it's not a bold call with that rider at the end. At the moment, absolutely the best one of...
Because skateboarding games, you know, they kind of peaked back in the early noughties with the Tony Hawks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, those are some kick-ass games. Mm-hmm. but not so much anymore, right?
Yeah. This one's also interesting because it takes elements of the finesse style Endless Runner as well, and incorporates that into it. So it's not just about doing tricks, although that's a significant part. You also just have to be able to get to the end of the level to be able to do anything at all. So it's a neat twist on the genre.
Yeah. So if you stack it in the game, that's the level over, right?
Yeah.
So that kind of sucks. Mm. But you're rewarded by the fact that if you get to the end of the level, then you can get to the next level.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it actually reminds me of, you remember California Games?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Like that. Like just that, watching the guy stack it down the stairs, I am taken back to my childhood and learning new swear words, watching my California Games guy like tumble to his death. I stack it a lot in this game.
Yeah.
I'm rubbish.
And in the last chapter, you can actually like fall into vats of acid.
Good.
And electrified like wires and stuff like that. So
why
your dude actually
talking?
Dies.
I'm like already like, I'm still stuck on like malls and stuff at the moment. So excellent.
Yeah. So the first game was set in like a typical urban setting. You got some rails, you've got some ledges to grind on and all of that stuff. Mm. But here it's Ollywood.
Yeah.
So you've got like...
I see what you did there.
He didn't do it.
The subtitle is Welcome to Ollywood. And you start off in, you know, the lots, the Ollywood lots, and then you go through the different film sets. So, like, there's a Western, I think. There's an Aztec set. And then there's, like, a city, a futuristic city with giant robots everywhere.
Mm. What can you grind on in the Wild West?
Are there horses? Can Trops. You grind on a horse?
Down a bar.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. They're just, like... ledges. You know, I'm not even 100% sure if there is a Wild West level.
Okay.
That was just kind of an example.
Hopes up there. Yeah. I was all excited. Yeah.
That was just the first movie set he could think of. Mm.
So it's a 2D side-scrolling game, which is also pretty interesting for the genre because they've long been defined by Tony Hawk and its imitators, but this is stripped back. It's very colourful. It's very retro in its stylings. It kind of... It's all pastel-y and nice. It looks like opening up a tub of Neapolitan ice cream, you know?
Yeah.
Little man skateboarding in it.
That would be amazing, yes.
It looks really nice and the movement's really fluid. Mm. The first game was a kind of pixel art kind of thing. Now they've kind of discarded that and just gone for a more stylized, a cleaner look, which is a good move.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just very nice to look at and just blissful to listen to. It's one of those games where the soundtrack really helps you deal with the constant frustration of like turning a nose grind into you grinding your nose along a rail down a set of stairs.
Yeah, so this game really brings out the perfectionist in you, I think. Like that little part of the brain that just wants to do the perfect run, this really kind of grabs onto that part of the brain and makes you expand it. So if you like miss your first trick, for example, like you can, if you time it right, you can get a perfect landing, you get big points, but if there's sort of varying degrees of mistakes you can do depending on how late or early you land the trick. And so if you kind of mess up the first trick even a little bit, don't get that perfect, it's so tempting just to hit replay on the level and just go back to the start and because you just made that little mistake.
God, it's so frustrating seeing that, like, when you make that dodgy landing, the thing comes up and tells you that you've screwed up, and it made me scream. I was angry.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you want to get that perfect run because it feels so good to land properly. Like, there's that perfect, like, crisp little sound effect, and the bottom of your skateboard goes green. Everything's great. It's such good feedback. And then it's a massive, like, basically, it feels like a middle finger when you fail.
Yeah. So you can, like, string together a combo of, like, 50 or more tricks, for example. If you just, if you hit a trick while you're, like, directly after doing a new one, it's a combo. And only until you land does that combo end. So it's tempting just to go through the whole level and turn it into one giant combo. But then, again, if you screw up the landing, if you have a bad landing, that what could be a million point move is like you're giving like maybe 200 points for it or something ridiculously small if you just fudge the landing up.
Yeah, it's a really cool system to have everything be tied into nailing that landing. Candy.
I'm actually I want to go back to the soundtrack.
Yeah.
The music and stuff. Is it, like, we've talked about another escape game here before, Penny Time, where obviously, for obvious reasons, because of who designed the game, that was the music made a massive difference to your movements as you were skating. It was timed in with the jumps and the slides and things like that, and it almost indicated when you should be doing those moves. Does the soundtrack work in a similar way with this, or it's just like la-di-da in the background?
Penny Time, it was timed into the music, so the actions are actually cued by the sound, whereas with this you have a bit more control over your pace, so it's more that it's just this constant chippy kind of like electronic music, and it works well because it doesn't seem to have any real like end point. It loops back in on itself perfectly, but it's sort of innocuous. Like, it's really like, it's fun and good, but what is great about it is that it takes away, when you're restarting, there's no sense of that like stop start point. It's just this constant flow. So it's really cleverly designed to take the edge off that frustration.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm so many times I've just done the first trick and then not got it perfect and just restarted it, and that could happen 15, 20 times depending on how obsessive you want to be. The music kind of takes you, it does calm you, like Lee said, it sort of takes away the rage.
Another game that it reminds me of in that same sense is Dust Force did a similar thing where you wanted to get that perfect run through the level, and the music there kind of smoothed over the frustration when you stuffed up that first jump because of the way that the rail is placed right beside the stairs, and it's really hard to time that jump, and screw them!
Is it... right. Is it at any point frustrating then if you need to... like, because you, Razor, you said if you die, you die. You got to go back and do it again. Is it, like, are any of them impossibly difficult that you get frustrated having to go back and do it again and again?
Did you hear me shout screw them?
I got that. But like, I mean, does that happen often, I guess, is what I'm asking, and not necessarily because of your game playing skills, but...
Oh, nice. Yeah, all right. Bring in your Vita next time. Yeah. Look, it's supposed to also be frustrating.
Yeah.
Because it's got that knife edge difficulty to it. So,
but it's not frustrating in a way that just you want to throw in the towel and just not play again.
No, it's got enough of a compulsion loop, and the art manages to make you forgive them for designing such an awful thing. Yeah.
There's also quite a lot of room for expression, I feel, because depending on which way you rotate the stick, you pull off different moves. And there's a trictionary, as they call it, of dozens and dozens of different moves. And the more complicated ones, the ones with the longest animations, give you the most points. But you're free to do any move at any time. So it kind of gives you a bit of expression. You can try a different trick on in different places and see how many points you get.
Is it kind of a score attack thing then? Is it about seeing that leaderboard at the end and trying to beat your friends?
Yeah, very much so. So the number of points you get at the end of the level is a big deal. That's pretty much what you're playing for. And there are leaderboards. You can see what your friends are doing, if you have any, how well they're doing. But there's the global...
How are yours going, Razor?
Well, I didn't see Lee on my list of friends for some reason.
Oh.
I just only got the thing.
Yeah. But yeah, you can see the global leaderboard, see how you stack up. Interestingly, there's the return of the daily grind, which is it's a track that's the same for everyone, and it's available only for 24 hours. You can practice it as much as you want, but you get one try only.
Oof.
And then that's sort of, if you're the number one for the day, then you get to have the glory of being the best in the game for that day, right, which is really cool. So it's a new course every 24 hours. I've done it a few times, managed to get like 5,000th on the list.
Well done.
Yeah. All right.
Which is okay.
So you're real up there then.
Out of like 300,000, so
yeah, well,
you know,
that's okay. Overall, that's pretty good then.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah.
Sort of like the daily missions in Spelunky then.
Exactly the same, pretty much.
But you're allowed to practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's nice of them.
Yeah, so we've been talking about Oli Oli 2. I've been playing it on the PS Vita, which has been pretty enjoyable. I think it's the perfect format for that. But Lee, you've been playing on the PS4?
Yep. Yeah, and I think it's a fantastic game there as well. I think it would be good to play with other people as well, so that they can witness you stack it and laugh at you while they steal the controller. So
yeah, I don't think it's a game that is going to be good as a spectator thing, though, personally, because, like I said before about the constant restarting and the fact that when you stack it, you have to go back to the start. And for someone who's obsessed about getting the highest score, there might be the perfectionist in them might cause them just to restart it, even if they get a trick but not get it perfect.
Well, so then,
for someone watching, it could be like, oh, great.
You don't let them do that, I think, is how you solve that problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it restarts Iron Man mode.
Yeah. Iron Man mode. Mm-hmm. Well, that's Oli Oli 2. I certainly recommend it.
Yep.
And that's going to bring us to the end of this week's episode of Zed Games. Big thanks to Rob and Liam from Walk Through Walls for joining us on the show. It was really fun to talk to those guys. Mm-hmm. We'll be back next week at the same time. Catch you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.